and you're very welcome to the DL debate, of course, with myself, Pádraig Kilfordy, without the main man himself, Brendan Devaney, who is, of course, part of the winning backroom team of St Ionians, who claimed their 16th Donegal Senior Football title following their victory over Dunlow yesterday in McCool Park on a scoreline of 113-112. Congratulations to Brendan and all the St Ionians team. Of course, Ionians last won it back in 2021. It puts them now out in front in the roll of honour, and we will be reflecting on county final day with an expert panel we have here in the studio and also on Zoom. We'll take a look at that Senior C title for St Ionians, who defeated Niamh Connell on Friday night, and Gidor's victory in the Senior B yesterday, also in McCool Park as well. At the weekend, the minor finals took place, the divisional minor finals. Big victory for both Four Masters and Ardrath. The Ulster Championship draw was also made. It's a mouth-watering one. It's Donegal taking on Derry. We'll be looking ahead to that particular draw as well. And finally, if we have time, we have a lot to cover today. We will take a look at the new proposed rules that will be trialled at the weekend at the Interpros matches as well. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined in studio by the expert panel. They've been keeping us right all year. I have Glens Fully manager Gary McDade, who collected the Dr. Maguire on three occasions, and is back at the helm this year as well. How are you doing, Gary? You're very welcome.
I'd be better if I was sitting in a Monday club.
Well, a man that nearly was is sitting beside you four-time Dr. Maguire, one of the St Ionians, three as a player and once as a manager, of course, Brendan Kilcoyne. How are you, Brendan?
I'm great today, Pádraig, funny enough. Great form, best off.
John Gilday bailed out on us, lads, so we'll come back to that one. Also, we have the sports editor of the Donegal News, Ryan Ferry. How are you doing, Ryan? Are you keeping well?
Yeah, very good here, Pádraig.
And I'm delighted to say as well, I'm joined by former Donegal and Dunlow star Raymond Sweeney. How are you, Raymond?
Could be better now, so it could. But yeah, I'm on the other scale of things. Obviously, I woke up just remembering that we'd lost a county final. So yeah, that's how I am this Monday. So,
well, thanks for joining us, lads. And first of all, I suppose, what a spectacle was yesterday, county final day. And first of all, the crowd was one thing, but the game was fantastic, Brendan.
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really good game of football whole way through. Hugely competitive, every ball contested with massive ferocity all over the field. And I think that's what you want when you attend championship games, and particularly when you attend a county final. I think for a neutral, I think they would have enjoyed it too. And you have to give massive hats off to both teams. Like, they really left it all out in the field. And perhaps, you know, a lot of the smart pundits and a lot of the smart men out there underestimated the power of that Dunlow were going to bring to the final. I don't think St Junans, anyone involved in the St Junans camp did that, but I thought Dunlow were fabulous and really, really tested Junans right down to the bitter end kind of thing. And they certainly have the makings of a really, really good squad there and a really good team. They have a couple of more players to come back, and I think they will be a feature, and I don't think it's the last we've seen of Dunlow and just, you know, on St Junans. The first half, they wouldn't have been happy with the performance, but the second half, they really upped the gears. And, you know, after the concession of that, absolutely, I was dumbfounded with the concession of the penalty, or with the awarding of a penalty kind of thing so late in the game. It was one of the strangest decisions I think I've ever seen in all my years kind of following Gaelic football, at such a crucial time in such a crucial game. But I thought, you know, St Junan showed great composure and great determination to get back up the field and kick them few winning scores, Pádraig, you know.
Yeah, definitely something we will reflect on later on in the programme. But Raymond, suppose, as Brendan has indicated, huge performance by Dunlow. If anything, you can leave McCool Park yesterday with your held firmly high. That was a really, really good performance. And I think Desi came out afterwards and did say, you know, nobody gave Dunlow a chance, and he was right.
Yeah, listen, I think, you know, going up there, we, you know, as Dunlow people, we wanted to be sort of proud of what the lads did yesterday, and we were hugely proud of what they did, because I think in the first half, I thought we were the better team. I thought we should have been probably maybe 6-4 up at half time. in the second half, yeah, Unions did obviously improve. You know, a couple of fortunate sort of balls coming off posts, landing to players' hands, and that's what you need to win a county final. Probably the difference in turning the game towards the momentum of Unions. But, you know, overall, so proud of all the players and the management. They put in a massive shift, and so composed, so controlled, some brilliant scores, some brilliant plays, some ferocious tackling. You know, you have to stand back and say, you know, we are so proud of them. I was just heartbroken actually for them after the game because of the shift they put in, and you know, obviously they didn't get the victory in the end, you know.
Yeah, and just looking at that first half performance, Raymond, suppose there was a couple of opportunities where I think we all agreed that if Dunlow would have taken the medal winning at half time, maybe 2 or 3 points up.
Yeah, I think, you know, we were chatting about it last night. I think, you know, you probably look at, and Conor Green will probably say that he should have put that one over the bar. He won a ball out in front and turned and nearly overcompensated. He actually kicked it to the left of the post as he turned on his left. And then there was a few others that kind of, I think Sean Patton managed to grab one above the bar. I think it was Dylan Sweeney. And then there was a couple of, you know, points that Unions had got from, you know, mistakes that we had where we were under real no pressure coming out of defence that they capitalised on. So essentially, you know, I was thinking, ideally, well, you know, from the run of play, we could have been at least at not 2 or 3 or possibly 4 points up. But, you know, that's football. You have to take your chances. And to be fair to Unions, they regrouped strongly in the second half. And, you know, that's unfortunately for us.
Gary, you were watching the game along with me yesterday, and we were taken back by the ferocity of the tackling going in by Dunlow. The defending yesterday was brilliant to be seen. Suppose, like you experienced that against Dunlow in the quarter final as well. And look, St Unions, they didn't give them any quarter.
Yeah, listen, Craig, the power of Dunlow, suppose, is the collective. You know, Unions have a lot of stars in their team. There's no probably standout stars in the Dunlow team, but it's the power of the collective that makes them so good. They tackled on the edge. They brought a massive edge in their game when they didn't have the ball. I mean, the three Kearns, I thought Mark in particular, was driving the ball and carrying it and breaking tackles. I tell you what, you would take the three of them to any town with you, so you would, you know, you would stand a good chance. They're three hardy boys. I think they did so much right yesterday. I think that, you know, a lot of people would have looked at them coming in, you know, that maybe this could go one way here, you know, it could be one-sided, but by God, they left everything out in the pitch, and they've continued. They've actually got better as the years went on. Desi would have talked a lot about their league campaign, where they're missing a lot of players, and you could see they were getting that back. And I was looking yesterday myself, I was looking at their bench, like young Luke Clerken would have been a massive for them if he had been back yesterday. He's been curtailed badly by injury this year, and hamstring baller. He would have been another string in their bow if they had him yesterday as well. But I mean, yes, they'll be sore today, but it'd be worse if they left there yesterday and didn't perform. They performed yesterday. They died in their boots, so they did. To me, Dunlow's nearly the story of the championship, you know, because, you know, they've come from nowhere, mid-table in Division 2, possibly even, I can't remember, maybe 7th, I remember looking at it a few weeks ago, where they finished in Division 2, and to come up and play like that there and get to a championship final. They're saying to you outside there, you and Brennan, like, they're going to be back. Like, they're not going anywhere with the way that the age of that team is really good. They have, their under-16s are down playing our boys in the club this year. There was a young lad, McCready, at centre forward. He looks a clinker, so he does. I think his mum, so I was chatting to some of the Dunlow people, his mum's a really good runner as well. And there's a young boy, I think maybe Kyle Byrne, Raymond will know if I'm right or wrong there, playing in the middle of the field.
Kyle Boner.
Yeah, Kyle Boner. He stood out that evening to me as well. And because I was kind of looking, did they have much coming? You know, it'll be 2 years, obviously, before those boys are old enough to play. But they do have players coming, and it's a matter of trying to keep it together. You know, the word on the ground was that they were travelling to Sligo twice a week since January. That's an unbelievable commitment, if that's true. Like, you know, to sustain that for another few years is massive, you know. And because what they did, I think they've maxed themselves. So they have, you know, they're so good. So they were yesterday, they've left everything out there, and they can be so proud, you know.
Ryan Ferry, you've seen a lot of this Dunloe side over the last couple of months, and no doubt that performance yesterday, did you see that first half performance coming?
Yeah, I probably did, to be fair, Park, because I think I seen seven out of the eight games they played, and like, you know, they really bring huge physicality to it, and you know, as Gary said, it's right on the edge, and you know, like, I think it was maybe in the first couple of minutes where Mark Curran just went absolutely through Aaron Deeney with the ball, like, and it was just as if nothing was going to get in their way, and you know, they were really, really up for it, and you know, as the boys said, you know, they probably came up against pressure as they were working the ball out the field that they didn't face in any other game. And maybe that was the difference. Like, there was at least probably 4 points that St Unions got that came from, you know, unforced errors from Dunloe that were just punished. And, you know, it was tough on their defenders. I thought Jason McBride in the first half was sensational. And, you know, Aaron Ward on one-on-one with Niall Donald did very, very well with the long ball that was coming in. And, you know, it was just those couple of scores. They did very well in their own kick-out. You know, I was maybe a wee bit worried about them on that side of things, but they clearly did a lot of work over the last 2 weeks. They really put it to good use, the way they worked the ball into Conor Green, who, you know, himself and Conor Morrison had a super battle on the edge of the square. And, you know, it's just one of those days. It didn't happen for them. Maybe a few tweaks from St Unions in the second half made the difference. And, you know, you have to say St Unions scored 1-9 in the second half. They were much improved, and that extra bit of quality probably was the difference in the end.
I suppose, Brennan, looking at Dunloe's performance in the first half and looking exactly how they curtailed St Unions, because I was interviewing Niall O'Donnell after the game yesterday, and he was just the ball that was coming in, the pressure that Dunloe was putting on, maybe someone trying to put the ball in, it didn't cop up those opportunities and made it very difficult to get scores for St Unions yesterday in the first half.
Absolutely, yeah, and that all comes down to, you know, fantastic performance from Dunloe defenders, and in particular, Ryan mentioned Jason McBride and Aaron Ward. I thought they were superb in the full back line, and like I remember a couple of stages in the first half, young Conor O'Donnell Jr. tried to hit Niall with a couple of passes and they just weren't right. Mm. They were just a bit off. So they were to the advantage of the defender, and to be fair to the defender, they dominated the balls, and Niall found it very hard to get into the game, so he did in the first half, and perhaps maybe he should have come. He came out the field in the second half and played really well and showed a lot of leadership, and maybe if he'd come out maybe a bit earlier to get himself on the ball and get a bit of flow to him, it might have suited him better. Like, but you know, it was ding dong. And what was interesting in the first half too was, you know, every time Dunloe got a score, Unions were able to reply within 90 seconds with an equaliser, albeit, you know, and there were some of them were soft turnovers, etc., but it was been able to reply to them scores that kind of kept Unions in the game when Dunloe were probably the more dominant side. And you know, that Raymond mentioned a couple of poor misses that they had there, and you know, that's pressure, county final, them things happen, and Dunloe probably will feel that they should have gone in maybe 2, possibly 3 points ahead at halftime, just based on the balance of play. But you know, Unions took their couple of chances, and whilst they weren't, there was no real fluidity to the play to their play. They were able to keep in touch with Dunloe, and Ryan said came out and scored 1-9 in the second half, 3 points in injury and the 5 minutes of injury time. And you know, there's very little margins. You know, the margins are very tight. You look at the goal that St Unions got. It came down to the post into Porrick Boyle's hand, quick flick to Conor O'Donnell Jr., goal. And nearly the next play, Dunloe went up the field and the ball hit the upright and fell straight into Keenan Ward's hand. And you know, they're the kind of breaks that you kind of need to win county championships. And a couple of them things just went right for St Unions on the day too. But you know, overall, it was fantastic stuff. It was gripping stuff. So it was.
And Raymond, suppose that that aspect of the defensive element that we spoke about, getting that start from Dunloe, you could feel it in the ground. The confidence was growing as Dunloe grew into that game. And suppose you obviously from Dunloe, you would have took good. Suppose it would have been something that would have given you that. Oh, we can actually, there's an upset on the cards here.
Yeah, it's not that I would have thought that, you know, there was an upset on the card. I guess going up to a county final and playing the way we did in the first half, and we were chatting, and I guess what we were all thinking is, you know, we deserve to be here. We're here on merit, and we're part of the, how would you say, we're part of the whole county final experience, where we're absolutely giving it everything, and we're not, you know, we're not found wanting. We're not sort of being beat out the gate at half time. We were there. We were dominant. We were controlled. And listen, I was happy at half time ish, but at the same time, I was kind of slightly disappointed that we weren't, you know, that 2 or 3 points ahead, because had that been the case, obviously, you know, Unions would have been looking and going, is this not going to be our day? But the fact that we were all level at half time meant that, you know, the second half was all to play for. But as I said again, I think it was just the control they had on the game, and, you know, the sheer physicality and the pressure, and, you know, their use of the ball, whether it be short ball, long ball, it was really, really good for most of the time. But it's just those couple of, you know, how would you say, missed opportunities. Well, you know, we're just unfortunate for us, you know, that we didn't go in leading at halftime.
And that comes with experience, Gary, you know, as well. And there's no substitute for it. And we spoke about it as well. Unions, you know, they've been in county final after county final, and they know how to handle that. And maybe those decisive balls inside, you know, with a little bit more experience. You know, I think there was one or two in the first half that just didn't find. They were looking for Conor Green. Maybe there was three or four Unions men around him at that occasion. And that's a massive factor.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we did talk about that off the air, I suppose, yesterday. Them coming in did. Yes, they'd been in the intermediate final 2 years ago. And to actually even say that, they'd been in the intermediate final 2 years ago and now narrowly lost out on a senior championship 2 years later. I mean, where they've come from has been huge. They've given the likes of yourselves down in Termin massive hope, and every other team that'll go on and won intermediate winners, of, you know, the gap is possible to close with incredibly hard work. And we talked about the kind of things that they're doing in preparation for this. They'll learn massively from being in that county final. As I said, they're not going anywhere. They're going to be back. They're going to be a force next year, and probably maybe the thing of people maybe not respecting them to the fully that they deserved now, that's going to be gone, because that, you know, hidden factor is going to be gone now. People are going to really go at them even, you know, more so next year, and treat them as one of the big guns. You know, when we're talking there about the balls and the Niall Donnell, and that, you know, it just shows the amount of riches that Unions have. They've so many good players, you know, and that probably helped them get over the line as well. It's, you know, the panel of players, it's exciting what they have there. Like Owen McGeehan, like, not starting, we were talking about yesterday in the county final, he's probably, in my opinion, he's probably as good a forward in Donegal right now who is not on the Donegal county team, you know, and to be able to hold him back on the bench, you know, it just shows the amount of riches that they have in there. And I think but Bren was talking about the balls going into Niall there. He's probably as good an inside forward in the game at the minute in Donegal club football. His first touch and everything sticks really well, you know, and like Eamon Doherty yesterday as well, and another massive player that would have been one of Donegal's main man markers over years gone by. You know, like, he was named to start, and I actually had him down in my own notes to pick up Green at the edge of the square. I thought, if I was doing up matchups myself, and, like, you know, that I thought he was made for Green at the edge of the square, and probably Green had a super first half and really was a great outlet for Dunlow. That kick on it into him was on the whole time, and he was winning all the ball. It, as Brendan said, he had some battle with Conor Morrison there. Probably Morrison started to edge it a wee bit in the second half then, but there were so many good battles across the field, and it's just that riches of Unions, you know, young Conor O'Connell Jr., you know, because then probably Dunlow probably are looking at, right, we have to pick up really man Mark Niall Donnell, man Mark Shane Donnell, Cian Moore, you know, they're three star county forwards that, you know, then that gets easier for the other Unions players as it goes down, because the best man markers are going to those lads, and that allows the likes of young Conor O'Donnell Jr. come in. Maybe he's getting maybe the fourth best marker then in the team, as opposed to maybe the top two or three, and that allowed the likes of him to get into the game. I thought he was brilliant yesterday. His first two scores, when the Unions were not playing well in the first half, they weren't playing well, they'll say that themselves, but they stayed in the game, which is key. And it was like the young Conor Long Jr., those two scores, And listen, you make your luck. The ball came off the post. I think it was Porrig Boyle, the Clint Hubbard man that won it, and he threw it off to young Connor and he bagged it. And he fought hard all day, so he did for everything, and he was a deserving winner of the man of the match. And, you know, Barry Meehan is the man now that has got them over the line, and I'm sure Barry will be delighted today, him and his management team, you know.
And absolutely will be. Absolutely delighted. But I suppose, Ryan, in the second half, the ball went up. Dunloe caught, I think the ball broke down to Ryan Connors. It ended up on a free for Dunloe, and straight away, Danny Rogers stepped up and popped the ball over the bar. Good start from Dunloe in the second half.
Yeah, they did well. And, you know, they probably would be disappointed with maybe the free. I think Niall Donald got a free just before the goal came when again, Dunloe had the ball around the middle of the field and lost it. And St Eunice broke down the right wing then and got a score. And, you know, they just seemed to be able to, you know, push clear. And, you know, there were 3 points ahead. And you were wanting to Kier Moore came forward and got a great point off his left foot at one stage. And, you know, it seemed to take an awful lot from Dunloe just to stay in the match, and they got some great scores. I don't know if they identified down their right wing as an area they could exploit, but you know, Dylan Sweeney has had a great championship, and you know, he was very effective, and he was one player that was kind of elusive to the St Eunice defence, and he was able to get shots away. He scored 2 points and a couple of misses. You know, Barry Curran got a point from that wing as well, and you know, they were just they hung in the game, and you know, like what was it? It was 3 points in it when the penalty was given, and then you know, like they scored the penalty, and it's all to play for. And then you know, you have to hand it to St Eunice for the way they dug it out in the injury time. And you know, maybe were they the fresher team at that stage? You know, Dunloe had put so much into it, they weren't getting the same sort of impact off the bench, whereas you know, St Eunice had a lot of strong players to bring off in that last quarter.
Yeah, and just to reflect on that point, Raymond, suppose it was tit for tat in that second half, but did you feel that Dunloe tired a little bit, did you, in that second half performance?
Yeah, I think probably what happened was, it obviously was, you know, point for point until the goal happened. And I think after that point there, we probably extended ourselves in trying to recoup, you know, the 3 points back again. I think we had 3 scoring chances. We got one of them. I think the one that Gary mentioned came off the post nearly straight away and landed into Keelan's hands. That was one of them. I think we eventually got another point. It could have been Dylan, maybe out the right, if I remember correctly.
That's right, yeah.
But we missed another one as well. So having 3 scoring opportunities was massive. We only took one of them. Obviously, you know, the pressure that Eunice were putting us on, there was a factor as well. But I think, you know, that sort of period of play, we were, you know, we were stretched to our maximum trying to recoup the, you know, the points back. And we were obviously, you know, we were vulnerable probably to a counter-attack at that stage. And plus, as the lads have mentioned there, the bench for Eunice was probably stronger than what, you know, the Dunloe bench was. And you know, they made probably about 4 or 5 different changes. I think we ended up at about 2 or 3, and 2 of them were late on. You know, so yeah, we did tire, and I think that was due to the fact that we really overstretched ourselves trying to recoup that 3 points back.
Yeah, Dunloe put a lot into that, Brendan. And suppose you could see the big players from St Eunice really start to get the game by the scruff of the neck, the Shane O'Donnells, the Niles, and also Kieran Moore making, just finding that little bit of space.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, we expected the game to open up as it progressed through the last quarter kind of thing, and particularly, and Raymond, you know, mentioned it there, when you concede the goal, you do expend a lot of energy trying to bring that back, and they kept doing that, but Eunice were able to break up the field, and we saw more of Kieran Moore, more of Niall O'Donnell, more of Shane O'Donnell, Darren Mulgrew, Kieran Tobin getting up the field, and these type of players. Thought Aaron Deeney had a really good game too, cornerback for St Eunice. And they were able to get more space and get running at the Dunloe defence. And obviously the legs were getting a bit more tired as the game progressed. So it was. And, you know, then obviously you can bring in the subs like Owen McGeehan, who, you know, cracking footballer. He just needs a half chance, like, you know. And even one time I remember he got totally boxed in. and he was still able to somehow swing a leg to get the ball out of the quagmire out to one of his teammates. So he was, so, you know, but, you know, I was kind of watching the game. I was thinking, you know, Unions might pull away now after the goal, but Dunloe just wouldn't go away. And there was no, like, we're talking about them getting tired. Thornton, they didn't look like they were getting tired for me. They still looked like they were bringing that huge, enormous energy to every play and every transaction that happened on the field. So they were, and, you know, I thought that, you know, we haven't mentioned him, young Neely. I don't know, did someone say he's only young?
He's minor, he's
yeah,
a great
minor,
team.
Like, you know, I thought he was fabulous too against St. Michael's in the semi-final. I thought he had a really good game. And, you know, you've Karen McGee down at left half-back, and, you know, there's some really good, exciting players coming through. So they have, and just the energy and the current, like, we talked about Mark Curran, like, he was just like a man possessed from the very outset of the game, from the when the ball was thrown in. He was, like, unbelievable, so he was. So, you know, Unions had to deal with all this, so they had, because they were going in as very hot favourites. And, you know, that brings its own pressures, because you're hearing the same rhetoric all week before the match, so you are. And the Unions players and management have to deal with that, so they had. And suddenly you're in the game and it's all happening, and you're, you know, it's not really working the way that you might have wanted planned out. But I saw, you know, in that second half, we saw what they're capable of to a more extent. I still believe that there's more in them and that they're capable of upping the gears a bit more. And, you know, even the fact, Dunloe seemed to let them get the kick out. They seemed to pop a lot of them out to the left wing over the terrace side in the second half and then put the squeeze on. And I thought that maybe they could have gone long maybe a couple of times too, because to be fair to Dunloe, they were committing men up the field, so they were. And I thought with the two, you know, with Sean Patton, best kicker of the ball probably in the country at the moment, that they maybe could have utilised maybe that a bit more in the second half kind of thing and gone long. They did it to James Kelly one time specifically towards the end of the game, and suddenly you're taking 20 players out of the game and you're going 5v5 up at the top of the field, like, you know.
And Ryan, Dunloe definitely did make it difficult for those kickouts as well, you know, from that point of view, from a Dunloe point of view as well, because as we were saying, Gary and Brendan, during that kickout from Sean Patton, it's so hard to cut out. It's at inter-county level, never mind at club level.
Yeah, it's very hard. And, you know, we've seen a lot of teams, you know, just let them chip it out to the edge of the D and retreat way back. And, you know, as Brendan's saying, Dunloe didn't do that. And, you know, it was nearly like the second phase when they had the ball collected, then they went after them. And, you know, there was one time in the second half where the ball was put back to Sean Patton and he couldn't collect it, and Kieran Tobin was put over the end line by Sean McGee for a 45, and Danny Rogers scored it, like, you know. So, you know, like, it worked well what they were doing, and it slowed down St. Unions getting up the field. And, you know, I suppose probably the disappointing thing maybe for Dunloe is, you know, as I said, I thought they did very well on their own kick out, and just that one right at the end when they were 2 points down. And, you know, you're just thinking, well, you know, if they can get the ball up the field and get it into the edge of the square, you never know what can happen. And, you know, just whatever happened, there was a mishap between Aaron Ward and Danny Rogers, and the ball went away and Niall O'Donnell was alert, and that was the game gone, really. Then St. Unions got that third point. So, you know, they'll be disappointed with that. But, you know, with the likes of St. Unions, you know, you can't give them too many opportunities to get on the ball, because it's just so hard to get it off them again.
Definitely is. And, well, Raymond, suppose big talking point yesterday was, of course, the penalty. What was your view on it?
Yeah, it was an unusual one. I know, looking at it, usually they're brought into the, you know, the 20-21 metre line and that's it. I've never really actually seen a penalty being given from an advantage. So, you know, I was as confused as everybody else. Listen, we were delighted to get it.
Of course.
But as I said, it's something it was definitely unusual that you would see it moved in and a penalty given. Now, I did think the referee had a good game, you know, overall. And, you know, there were some decisions I would have said that he was a bit sore in us, where we were a point down, and I would have thought Mark Corn was fouled, and they got their second point to go 2 points up after we'd levelled again. But in general run of things, you know, I thought he had a decent game, and he was able to cut out any back chat or anything like that by bringing the ball forward. I think he brought it forward twice actually at one stage for Dunlow's benefit. But yeah, I was kind of surprised at the decision to give a penalty. So it was.
And Gary, I suppose from your point of view on that call, it was a huge call.
Yeah, I actually contacted the referee last night just to follow it up to find out what the rule was, and he said Ryan Walsh was 100% right. If he sees a foul when there's a free kick on, he can give it if it's a bigger penalty than the penalty that's currently happened, as in the penalty against St Union. So obviously, I think I didn't see it myself, and there was no replays, Brendan, so there wasn't on the TV either.
No, we were looking to get a replay.
And from listening to people, it was a tug of a jersey from one of the Union's players, apparently. That's what the word was that I was hearing back. But the referee was in his right, apparently, to give it, because I rang in our referees, as I said last night, just to follow it up and check on it.
I was speaking to a referee too, and last night, so I was, and I asked him what his view on it, and like he says he's never seen it before, it's never happened before, kind of thing, you know. And he says if you do that, you're given penalties, though. You might as well just go straight to a penalty shootout, like, kind of thing. So I can't make any argument for it. I really can't make any argument for it in such a big decision in such a big game. And this, by the way, deflects in no means from Dunlow. Of course, they were glad to get it, and I thought he showed massive composure to put it past Sean Patton, like, you know. But, like, I can't see any justifiable argument how you could award a penalty in such a big occasion at that time of the game. It just never happens. And why you make that decision at that time? That would be my query on it, you know.
I'd agree with Raymond as well. I think Ryan Walsh had a really good game. Yes, there was a bit of controversy and a bit of disagreement, you know, about that decision. But listen, it didn't affect the game at the end up. Luckily for Unions, it didn't affect it. But I think overall, he had a good game. Each team's going to have grievances, like I'm sure Unions have grievances, and Raymond was on about one or two calls there as well. But I actually think the standard refereeing, Porrig this year and the Donegal Championship, has been really good. So it has. I think referees are listening a lot more to players, and they're really coaching players through when there is a foul given against them, you know. And I saw Ryan Walsh yesterday talking to players, and listen, he's refed some of our championship games this year, and he's good at that. He talks to players when the foul is made and tells them what they do wrong, and that's all players want to know at the end of the day, you know why the foul is given against them. Yeah. So,
and I think just that too, as it transpired, I think St Union's will take a lot more satisfaction out of maybe the way they won it than if they had won it at that particular time by going on and kicking them 3 points in that 5 minutes of injury time, I think. And I think that might give them a bit of confidence going into the Ulster Club Championship too.
I suppose, Raymond, before I let you go, it was speaking to a lot of people around the county today, just the character was one of the words they used about that Dunlow side. I suppose the important thing is to build on from this year, Raymond.
Yeah, listen, we've already repeated this. They're a great bunch of fellas, you know, really dedicated, really good, management team, and you know, I have to give kudos as well to Ronan Brennan. He's done a fantastic job. But there's a lot of other fellas as well, Jamie Sweeney and Manny and them fellas that are in the background. But, you know, probably the lads mentioned or alluded to it earlier. We probably need a stronger panel. There are a couple of fellas, you know, lingering around, maybe reserves, that, you know, could potentially step up, you know, if they added the commitment to it as well. It could really have helped the team out yesterday.
Is there a couple in Australia, Raymond? One of the Greens in Nelly? There is, well, I was thinking.
Ryan Green is still out there. He did come back now, but he didn't transfer. And Adam Nelly was back here for the league games, but he left again when I think he left at the end of the summer. So he did.
Like the two of them would be some help to you.
Huge, yeah. There'd be a huge help now, especially like Ryan's a really, you know, that's Connor's brother, and he's a really hard worker. But Adam himself is a real nature forward, which is what we're probably lacking as well. But as I say, there's still, you know, Luke Clerican was mentioned there, but there's a couple of other lads that I know of that, you know, could add something to that team as well if they give the same commitment as the senior players.
SOS will be away to Australia, will it?
say that again.
The SOS will be away to Australia.
Well, we'll see. But listen, I think hopefully, as I say, I happened to be chatting to, was it Seamus McBrearty last night, Paddy's father, and you know, we mentioned that they were in one final. They've only won one out of all the good teams that they've had. So the window of opportunity is small, so you have to take it when it's there. And, you know, unfortunately for us, we didn't take it yesterday, but you know, we were in an intermediate final 2 years, and we drew, and then we lost the replay. And then the following year, we went on, we won it again. So that team has good character. They're a good bunch of fellas. They'll have their week, and they'll come back and collectively meet and, you know, sit down and see what they could do better and what, you know, they could change possibly to make them a better team. But, you know, there's not too much that needs to be added to it apart from, as I say, more help off the bench. You know.
Yeah. Well, look, Raymond, thanks very much for joining us here on the DL debate. And I think everyone around the county were enthralled in yesterday's game. It was a brilliant spectacle, and we wish you well over the winter, and thanks for joining us here on the DL debate. You are listening to myself, Pádraig Kilfordy. We have, of course, Ryan Ferry, Brendan Kilcoyne and Gary McDade in studio. We'll be back and we will be reflecting on the remainder of the weekend's action. That senior C title for St Jurans, and also Gidor claiming the reserve title also. And we will be taking a look at the minor finals throughout the weekend. We'll be back very shortly after these. Yes, and you're very welcome back to the DL debate. Of course, we're reflecting on that big victory for St Jurans, claiming their 16th title yesterday, taking the Dr. Maguire back to the Cathedral Town. 113-110 was the final score, and a cracking final it was, and great to see as well. Now, we are going to reflect, there was other games throughout the weekend, and well, suppose, Brendan, it was all about St Jurans today. They clinched the Senior C title. It started off on Friday night, and 2-8 to 1-14 after extra time. It was a bit of a ding-dong battle there.
Big ding-dong battle, yeah. Ding-dong battle it was indeed. Pádraig, you know, went to extra time. Unions looked to be going fairly well in the first half, and to be fair, as you would expect from Niamh Connell, they're always going to come back at you. That's just their modus operandi. But Union showed enough composure going down the straight, and, you know, I believe Rory Kavanagh on the middle of the park had a big impact on the game, so he had, and Connell Dunn, the elder statesman. But to be fair to Pádraig, Ryan, you know, he puts an awful lot of work into these teams, so he does, and his Sean McIntyre, Decky O'Donnell, these guys, so they've introduced a lot of young fellas into the team, so they have. And I think, you know, I believe I was chatting to Pádraig last week, and they kind of decided, you know, at the start of the year that, you know, that the weren't bringing enough young fellas through from, we'll say, reserves, junior up to senior kind of thing, and they put a focus on getting as many young fellas as they could football through the junior season, the reserves. And, you know, Pádraig Ryan seems to have the Midas touch. He's a lead after leading another St Jurans team to a C title, and they were delighted with themselves, and fair play. So they were.
Great occasion, Gary, as well. And suppose it's evident to point out those couple of lads that have all Ireland medals in their back pockets. Rory was immense on Friday evening by all accounts. And look, a good occasion as well.
Yeah, listen, I wasn't at it, but from talking to some of the unions people today, they were said it was a fair play to the county board. You know, they had the parade, they had the national anthem, they had the band, they had everything was happening, like the senior finals. It was huge effort on behalf of the CCC and the county board, and it was very much appreciated, I know, by both clubs there on the evening. And, like, you know, Bren touched there, and Pádraig Ryan, I was saying to him off air, you know, he has been the running for club man of the year, also in charge of the reserves, and the amount of players. I was looking at the reserve panel, so I was yesterday in the programme, and I was looking at the third team as well. I saw a picture of the panel there. Like, you know, was it last year, I think, Bren? They probably possibly had a fourth team. You know, there's definitely a possibility of that going forward. A wee bit of success in the Senior C will help drive that again for next year. And probably when I looked, Pádraig, the big thing, when I looked at the two team lineups of St Jurans and Glenties, you know, none of them would be lost in a Junior A Championship, you know. The reserve teams, none of them would be lost in a Junior A Championship. But when I looked at that last night, and hopefully now in the winter, that's something that we need to sort in Donegal. I've been saying it now for a good while, that reserve football, we need to just park it and let every team stand on their own 2 feet, because those two teams that played in that reserve final yesterday were good players, a lot of good players on both teams, and they would be able to play at Junior A, you know, football
as well. Ryan, suppose taking you in here, and we're looking at that reserve final, as Gary has indicated. Gidor coming away with a victory there, and it was Jurans who were leading at half time. It was a low scoring game at half time. I think it was 4-2, Ryan.
Yeah, it was 4-2 at half time, and it was a funny game. You know, it was probably a it took both teams a little while to get going, and there was, you know, some bad misses in the first quarter, and it kind of lifted after that. And but, you know, Gweedore were much the better team in the second half. You know, that very strong midfield with Sean Doherty and Peter McGee and Neil McGee driving forward from centre half back as well. And they got two absolutely fabulous goals, Pádraig. Fergal Delaney with the first one right in the top corner, and then a breakaway goal right later on with Martin Coyle drilling it into the bottom corner with his left foot. And, you know, there were two great scores. And Unions battled hard. They were without Pádraig McGettigan yesterday. He seemed to be pick up an injury in the after the semi-final. He was a big loss as well. And but yeah, like two super teams, you know, as Gary said, they would be well able to look after themselves in the Junior A Championship, I would say. And, you know, Gweedore lost the Senior B final last year to Eirua, and, you know, Finnan Coyle and Owen De Burke and those players stepped up into the senior ranks then. And, you know, they'll be looking at some of these players as well, the likes of Johnny McBride and Martin Coyle. I see Martin Coyle play in the Gaelic Championship earlier on in the season. I know he's a very good soccer player as well, so, you know, he maybe has a lot going on, but he's definitely somebody that maybe could offer something to the senior grade going forward.
Definitely can. And Brendan, I suppose, looking at that game, it was frustrating from a St Uran's point of view. Just didn't really get going in the second half. Gweedore, the runs from Peter McGee in the second half, they couldn't curtail that, along with the other runs from deep. You've seen that Fergal Delaney, as Ryan has indicated, getting that goal as well. But there was a theme. Even Neil McGee, the old stalwart that he has, popped up with a point as well.
Yeah, and I just felt that, you know, Gweedore just had that extra bit of power on the middle third of the field, particularly in Peter McGee and the big Sean Doherty lad. They're just awesomely big fellas, so they are. And obviously, you know, you have the three McGees there, so they are. And you have three McGees in any squad or any team, you're going to be, you're a long way of the way there, so you are. And, you know, Fergal Delaney played senior championship last year the whole way through for Gweedore, so he's obviously a top player. And yeah, we mentioned the Johnny McBride, he was with the county minor squad there a couple of years ago, and they've, you know, so they're really strong. And just Unions really struggled to get any hold around the middle of the park. They just seemed to be out muscled in that area, so they did. And, you know, despite the likes of wee Philip Doherty, who I thought worked really hard, and Oisin Scanlon, you know, David Boyle on the inside line, they just weren't able to get enough ball into the likes of David, so they weren't, and the struggle from that. And it was a kind of frustrating game to watch. Like, I think it was 15 or 16 minutes before the first score went on the scoreboard, kind of thing, you know, and both teams were really struggling to make any impact on the scoreboard early in the game. But it did open up in the second half, and Gweedore deservedly came out victors.
Probably a big turning point for that slip from Unions, I think, was that they were 4-2 up at half time. They actually lost their keeper at half time, Chris O'Donnell. He was hitting, I think he came up Pádraig to hit a 45, from what I heard now, because I was selling tickets outside the ground before the game. But from what I heard, he came up to hit a 45 and actually kicked the ground and hurt his groin and his hip flexor. So they actually lost their keeper. And, you know, that's huge going in then, Brendan. You know yourself, not having your first choice keeper, and he's had a really good season for them. So he has, in the reserves, he was junior keeper not so long ago, and he's worked his way up now to being the second choice keeper there in the club, I suppose, being the reserve number one. So that was a huge turning point in the game for them.
Turn our attention to the Division 1 minor final. Was in O'Donnell Park on Saturday, a cracker of a game. 2-10 for Masters, 1-11 for Neave Connell, and the curtain raiser was Termin against Ardra, another cracker, 2-10 to 2-8. Thoroughly enjoyed both games. And Brendan, I suppose, you know, You were at those games. You were watching them as well, and I suppose we'll reflect on the victory for Four Masters, three in a row. Ody McBride, what can you say about Four Masters?
Yeah, they were absolutely brilliant. So they were, and two brilliant. Start with two really good games, two competitive games, two teams laying it all on the line on the biggest day of the year for them. And, you know, we've seen the dominance that Four Masters have had at minor level for the last number of years. They're current Ulster champions at under 17. They're going back with the same team this year again to win it under 18. And, you know, I know the likes of Callum McRae, who I rate very highly. I think he's a really, really top player. And inside forward, then the big guy McBride, is it? And Conor McCahill is just he's a one to watch. Like, he really is. You know, he's such good balance, and he can go off both feet, and he's powerfully strong for a young fella too. He's not awful tall, but he's powerfully strong for a young fella. And, you know, they were put to the pin of the corner by a Naoimh Connell team. But again, there's so many good players. Like, we all know about Finbar Rorty, but the likes of Max Campbell, Tiernan Moore, Danny Brown, Conan Bannigan at the back, you know, they just have a real good balance about the team. So, you know, we're talking about teams not going away, but these teams are really building, and they're going to really start feeding into their senior squads over the next year, few years. Like, if I was looking at a team of the championship, I wouldn't have Colin McRae too far away from a team of the championship. I thought he'd been that good for four Masters. But, you know, they did enough to win. If Connell pushed them all the way, but four Masters, retain their title, move on to Ulster. And likewise too, the B final was really good, and great to see, you know, our draw win it. I know it was against your own crowd, against Dermot. You had your big day last week, but I think that'll mean an awful lot to our draw. They haven't won an awful lot recently, and it was a big deal for them, and rightly so. And, you know, I thought their captain, Dara Hennigan, at the centre back was inspirational for them, particularly in the first half. I thought he really brought the fight to Dermot. And then you have a couple of Sweeney lads, and Owen Bannealis exciting players that they'll be able to bring into their senior squad.
Cracking finals, Ryan. You were there for Highland Radio Saturday Sport, and I suppose the Division 1 final was end to end, as was the Division 2. So two cracking games.
Oh yeah, they were brilliant. A great standard of football. Loads of drama. You know, I thought the roof was going to come off with the Arnold Park stand, or the Dr. James McDade stand, when Danny Brown scored that goal for Niamh Connell. It was a great effort from Niamh Connell. You know, they had a number of 15-year-olds. Stephen McDevitt, I think he's the brother of Mark McDevitt, that plays for Niamh Connell. He was superb. So he was, and you know, it was just unfortunate for them. Probably the wee bit of experience that four Masters have. You know, it stood to them playing all those big games. But it's going to be interesting, Pádraig. You know, a lot of these are Ardra and Niamh Connell players are going to go together for this Southern Donegal team now in the McCrory Cup over the winter months. So that should bring them on as well, and that'll be good for both clubs and the county going forward.
Absolutely, Gary McDade, and you know all about that, I suppose.
You know, I saw that four Masters team in the semi-final against our boys, and Pádraig, it's probably as good an underage team I've seen come through Donegal in a long, long time. They can all play football, they're all comfortable in ball, they're physically really strong, so they are. And I've just learned in the last couple of weeks as well, they seem to be so mature, you know, that they're all in the Abbey, Ryan's on at Macquarie Cup, they're standing on their own 2 feet. So they're playing for themselves in the Macquarie Cup, so there, which is a huge statement, and fair play to them. And I heard that they've decided as a group that they're only playing football this year, that they're not going to play soccer, that their full concentration is going to go into the Abbey in the winter now for the Macquarie Cup. So that is a huge sense of maturity. Brendan was on about it there, that they're going to be coming through and pushing hard for four Masters seniors next year. So, you know, it's all interesting. It's really exciting from a four Masters point of view. And you mentioned Danny Brown there, you know, I heard he was brilliant in that final, you know, so Glenties are not going away anywhere too. They've more boys coming through on the conveyor belt.
Absolutely, and I suppose there's another podcast and DL debate about, you know, we're starting to see maybe a different trend, Brendan.
In what respect?
And teams coming through and
and like, you know, four Masters are the example that everyone is setting out there. And I think that, you know, people had the expectation that four Masters were going to really step up to the plate this year. But it does take a bit of time for these young fellas to bed into a team, because they are bringing so many of them through at the same time. Colin McRae came in this year, as I mentioned, played really well. Conor McCahill is ready to play senior football and will be playing senior football for four Masters next year, so he will. And there's a few more of them that will probably stand
up. Fellow play me Sligo Rovers.
Oh, Kevin Muldoon, yeah. Yes. He's actually on the bench for Sligo Rovers. I saw the team tonight he's on the bench for Sligo Rovers.
Look, lads, as I said, there's probably another podcast and DL debate on that one, but it's been a really, really busy weekend. We just haven't had time to get everything in, and the rules changes this weekend. The potential rule changes that are coming, we just didn't have time to get it.
Book the box for Croke Park
for us. Big thank you to our panel tonight, to Glenn Swilly manager Gary McDade, to Bren Kilcoyne, of course, and Donegal News' Ryan Ferry, and former Dunlow star Raymond Sweeney, who joined us earlier on. That's all from us. The Monday night sessions is on the way after these with Paul and Jimmy.